And 1323.
Approve use of the Portland Bureau of Transportation's rulemaking authority for modifications to TRN 10.19 for regulation of above-ground structures.
Commissioner Novick.
Well, I note that my staff instructions on this item say no introduction from Novick needed, which demonstrates that this is a complex subject that I can only mess up. So I'll turn it over to the staff.
Hi there. I'm Kyle Chizek from the Bureau of Transportation. What are above-ground structures? I have a picture here that, you know, I have a slideshow that I don't think we need to do, but I'm just putting up the picture right now of what an above-ground structure is. So very quickly, currently the situation we have is we, in general, prohibit above-ground structures in the right-of-way, like these utility cabinets. We do, on a case-by-case basis, make allowances for them, and these are used by all the private utilities, BES, Water Bureau, and Parks Bureau. Our variance process right now is fairly onerous, and we've heard from all our utilities and our public agency partners that it would help them if we were a little more allowable with this. The other factor that's going on is for years we've had some of our telecoms come to us and want to build out a system within the city for high-speed internet, small cell technology, and this would be the hardwired infrastructure that would be able to provide that. We are very cognizant of some neighborhood concerns, so we've tried to be very restrictive with where we will allow them. We will still have the variance process that has been negotiated in franchise agreements. If those areas where we'll allow them aren't able to work for them, that we can still keep talking. Some of the features of our, we have been working with community technology on issues related to Google Fiber and potentially coming to the city. We've been doing that for some time. And now we decided that making this change, while it's not for Google Fiber, it's clearly able to be used by Verizon, Comcast, CenturyLink, even the power utilities, is existing used by other utilities. We needed to make some kind of adjustment to our process in order for them to even consider Portland being a location. So moving forward, we opened up a 30-day comment period with both the utilities and the public. We crafted this administrative rule change in the Bureau and then shared it at the same time with both the utilities and the public. We've kept the record open until our public hearing. And as far as next steps, as part of our comments, we did hear from Bureau of Development Services. Initially, we thought we would send these, if they're in a design district or mm-hmm. historic district, to a Historic Design or Landmarks Commission and Design Commission as even just a staff review. BDS requested that we instead go to Design Commission and Landmarks Commission and come up with some standards which would apply consistently in those districts with those commissions. Another feature of...
So was that done?
We are planning on going... I talked to Tim Heron, and he was thinking January or February. We are also going through a process with Regional Arts and Culture Council to select what we're calling an art wrap. And so an art wrap is for the private utilities... And this is what they look like in other cities like Seattle or in Boise. To help the cabinet, I mean, instead of just be a gray cabinet or a colored cabinet, kind of be an amenity for the area, not not stick out so much. So that is what an RRAP is. We will need to develop design templates, and the cost for the design of the RRAP to be used and the cost for permitting and processing will be borne by the utilities. We do have a renewal, and this caused some concern with the utilities. They were worried that we would want that when we came out, we would make them take out their utility box, their cabinet, in the right of way. That's not the case. We just want to make sure these RRAPs hold up, and we have a yearly inspection and renewal fee.
And is there any input from the adjacent business and or property owners or residents about the RRAP?
We notify them. There is not, we're not seeking their approval for the art. We could do that, but that might be a little more challenging. The way Regional Arts and Culture Council kind of framed it was that there would be a pool of maybe 20 designs that could be used a certain number of times, and then once they were done with that art wrap, it would be retired, and they'd have to basically go through the process and create new designs again.
Kyle, I'm the arts commissioner, so
yes.
Of course I'm instinctively in favor of more public art. But this one gives me pause for concern.
Mm.
First of all, we're putting vinyl wraps around street furniture, and I mean, we are a council on record as saying most of these plastics we're trying to discourage people from using. So I think the question about what material we're using is
right.
Very pertinent. Second, as the BES commissioner, we do have problems with the runoff that goes into the streets and causes us regulatory issues. One of our biggest problems is the pesticide that we use on the wooden telephone poles that gets into our system and creates DEQ issues. So we want to make sure that whatever is wrapping does not create any toxicity that gets into the water runoff. And the third is, it's just my view, a piece of street furniture in a monochromatic tone, whether it's metal or just white or red or black, seems to me to be less conspicuous than one wrapped in art, particularly if it's art that is not, you know, the taste of everyone in the immediate area. So I'm instinctively interested in using them as platforms for art. But I must say, I'm a little concerned about how that would work and using vinyl. And my guess is, and I hate to say this, but we just had the presentation on the newspaper boxes. My guess is they're going to be attractive magnets for people to add their own flourish to the art. And I wonder where we are. So just caution flags on that.
Well, yeah, and when we have a program of intersection repair, which I think you did as commissioner, Hales, and there's this extensive public process to decide what the intersection gets painted to look like in a neighborhood that wants one. So to have art outside your door, outside your business, that may or may not reflect your own personal taste, as Commissioner Fish said, that's a little different from a bland light green structure.
Well, from the comments we received, the utilities would be in favor of a stainless steel cabinet or a muted monotone kind of color painting of the cabinets. From PBOT's perspective, our signal cabinets, they're all kind of like manila yellow, a beige cabinet that you'll see at basically every intersection. We currently do have Water Bureau and BES and Parks cabinets in the right-of-way, as well as Northwest Natural and a few other private utilities through that variance process that are, in general, stainless steel. So,
did you ask the Office of Neighborhood Involvement about graffiti removal from the vinyl wrap?
We did have conversations, Alex Bajorano, PBOT. We did have conversations with Oni on this when we first started the process of what these cabinets should look like and what we should do early on. And the wrapping was a concept that they were supportive of, specifically because when you have these wrappings, that they have a anti-graffiti coating on them, and so they're much easier to be cleaned. And so they're not a blank canvas, if you will.
One of the biggest challenges we have in graffiti removal is the stickers that people put on. And unless it's I routinely go around trying to take off the stickers, and some of them are really difficult to get off, and I wonder about using the solvent to get off the sticker that then is going to affect the artwork and look tacky.
That I do not know.
Steve, I understand the bigger issue here is the authority to do it, and you've briefed the council extensively on it. Is there some way to give you the green light on what the substantive authority you seek, and just to have some additional conversations pre-implementation on the wrap?
I think that's what we're doing with this rulemaking here. So,
any problem with that?
No.
Not at all.
Okay. I have to say that as the only member of council to vote against the arts tax, I just sort of assumed that all of my colleagues would be more pro-art than me. So I did not anticipate this conversation.
I'm prepared to get there. It raises a couple of questions for me.
I have actually some more substantive questions, too.
Okay.
One is about pedestrian movement. I couldn't tell from the list of criterion about 18 inches from the curb in line with the placement of the must be on the property line extended plus or minus 2 feet. Isn't as clear as leaving 6 foot of clear clearance for two wheelchairs, for example.
So these are intended to be in the furnishing zone. They would be allowed in the furnishing zone, similar to a power pole. And the reason why we located them on the property line extended plus or minus 2 feet is because they also will very likely end up adjacent to a power pole. So they're going to need power underground, and the utilities aren't going to want to trench conduit for that length. We would put them in the furnishing zone, maintaining the pedestrian through zone. Anyone trying to put a cabinet in the pedestrian through zone would be a non-starter.
So what's the required width of sidewalk where these could go?
The placement of these does not impact the sidewalk at all. So what we're talking about is within that furnishing zone, if they do not fully fit within that, then they cannot be allowed to be there. So the sidewalk will be maintained to whatever that sidewalk width is now, and there'll be no compromise to that through zone.
What do you mean by furnishing zone?
Furnishing zone is basically the area from a curb face back to the edge of the sidewalk. So that's where trees go, hydrants, other utilities, vaults.
So not allowed in a curb-tight sidewalk?
In a curb-tight sidewalk, unless there is adequate 6 foot clearance meeting ADA, we would not allow that to be in that location, though.
So I'm not seeing that 6 foot clearance piece in here. And another question I have is about the noise. I know that when we were looking at some of the other cellular facilities, that they make noises. They hum, they whir, they are otherwise objectionable. What's the consideration of that?
Currently, we don't have very few. We have very few of these in the right way. We don't have any noise complaints now. However, we do have criteria in city code that if it did make a noise, then that would be through enforcement through the noise enforcement offices. So,
and if it does turn out to be a larger issue than what we know right now, if there's new technology or something that becomes a larger issue, We would seek to address that through the franchise agreements.
Are the Google boxes anticipated to make noise?
I think, yeah.
Pardon me?
Some, I think.
The HUD certainly, I would assume, makes some kind of noise, but this is really for just equipment that is switching. I do not know that, but my answer would be that I don't think they would make any noise or very little.
Okay. Heads up, as the commissioner in charge of the Office of Community Technology, was the bane of my life for many, many months to try to figure out how to deal with that.
I know the cell phone boxes do, but maybe these don't.
And my final question is, I believe we had a letter from the Homestead Neighborhood Association asking for more time to consider these changes. Did you receive that?
We have received a letter from Friends of Terwilliger. I believe that I know of the Homestead Neighborhood Association's letter. I have not seen it yet, but as far as time considerations, we have extended our time period. We're definitely willing to consider comments that happen after today's date. We initially promulgated this rule, which basically says you can't put things in the right of way through the Bureau's rulemaking authority. So should we get substantive comments in, either through council, through neighborhood associations, through individuals, we would be considering those and are willing to make changes to them. If council feels that art wraps might not be a great idea, and we don't go that direction, then that would be something we would change. If we do go that direction, or if Historic Landmarks Commission wants a specific color, then we would be making changes at that point as well. Yes.
Is there an urgency to pass this today?
We have many requests from other utilities to place these in. CenturyLink and others have asked for this technology to be placed above ground, so we have many requests kind of pending, and it's a matter of this. In addition to that, while this is not for Google, as we said, they are still in the process of deciding to come to the city of Portland or not. One of their criteria is that they are reliant on these small above ground structures.
And I know Linda Navratilova is here. She has some other concerns, so we may need you back after your testimony.
Okay. Actually, Kyle, do we have much public comment on the art wraps concept?
We had comments from the utilities saying that they did not, that it would be a cost for them, and that we would have to do yearly inspections, and gee, wouldn't it make more sense if you painted one color or you had it stainless steel? We did not receive much in the way of comments from anybody in the on the neighborhood side, so that's
either,
why
either pro or con.
Neither pro or con.
Although CenturyLink did, when they a few years ago requested to place above ground structures, they actually went on and wrapped a cabinet for us to see and view over the last few years. And so we've been monitoring that, and they are supportive of that.
Okay, thank you both. Let's take public testimony.
I did not have a sign-up sheet for this one.
I think we have at least a couple people here to speak. Linda, so come on up. Please, come on up. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Thank you. My name is Linda Nedekoven. I apologize for the 11th hour of sending some comments to you. I just noticed this item was up when I looked at the agenda yesterday. And I had meant to talk with Kyle earlier, and I'm very surprised that there aren't more comments from neighborhoods because we've had conversations behind the scenes. My only guess is that there's so many other things going on right now that this has just kind of slipped off people's radar. I just wanted to raise a couple of suggestions regarding the public involvement portion of the proposal. Several things. It refers to having the neighborhood coalitions be the point of contact. And I think from conversations with coalition directors casually in passing, most of them feel stretched pretty thin. And to have them be the contact point and then have to relay information to the neighborhood seems inefficient. And it should be, I think, the same way BDS does land use review notifications, where it goes to the neighborhood and a CC to the coalition. Rather than going through the coalition first. Also, it's there's no reference to notifying business associations, and since I'm assuming a lot of these will end up on commercial corridors, that seems really important. And I had talked again with Venture Portland folks in passing, but again, we didn't solidify any kind of response. And then the idea of notifying property owners rather than also including tenants, since if you're the small business owner who has the shop on the street, but your landlord gets the notice and perhaps, isn't in close proximity to you, and that 30-day window is pretty tight. You're perhaps not going to know that there's something proposed for the area in front of your store. So those three concerns just about the public involvement piece, I think, are small.
Thanks very much.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Anton Vetterlein. I'm the president of Friends of Twilliger, also involved in the Homestead and Neighborhood Association, and both those groups did send comments to PBOT about the new rules. But it appears that our concerns were not addressed in the version that you're looking at or ruling on today. I did speak with Kyle the other day about the new rules, and I learned a lot about the intricacies of crafting the rules. Some of what I learned allayed some of our concerns, but also gave rise to new concerns. In short, I believe the more needs to be done to protect parks in particular from the technological clutter of the utility boxes. On December 4th, the Sweeney Parks Committee passed a motion supporting the Homestead neighborhood comments and referred the matter to the Sweeney Board for formal action. But that board meets tonight, which is after, I think, your vote here today. Frankly, I think that 30 days is not enough time for issues like this to work their way up from concerned citizens to neighborhood associations to neighborhood coalition committees and boards and on to city staff and decision makers. Mayor Hales, your comment that some things take time, having to do with the paper boxes. Well, this is a different example where it just seems to be going a little too fast. I think it is kind of flying under the radar because basically we got one email saying this is going on. You got 30 days to respond. And there's been a lot of things going on with the comp plan update and the Southwest community, Southwest corridor plan in the southwest part of Portland. That has taken a lot of time from neighborhood people. We're specifically concerned about the impacts of the utility boxes on Twilliger Parkway. Twilliger, as you know, is a linear park owned by Parks and Recreation with a public right-of-way running through the middle of it. The historic parkway and its environs are regulated by the Twilliger Parkway Corridor Plan and design guidelines whose primary goal is, quote, to preserve and enhance the scenic character and natural beauty of Twilliger Parkway and Boulevard, end quote. So I emphasize that includes the roadway. Unfortunately, exceptions to the regulations are commonly made for road signs and utility structures to the point where Twilliger's scenic character has become degraded in numerous places by the visual clutter of roadway signage and utility structures. We've been struggling to reduce this unnatural blight, but it will only be made worse by utility cabinets. And I think the best solution from our point of view would be a ban on utility cabinets in the right-of-way where that right-of-way adjoins a park anywhere in the city. That's what we proposed in our comments. If that doesn't happen, then we'd like to make sure that at least Twilliger Parkway is protected from these above-ground structures. And I have some specific ideas for that if you're interested in hearing them.
I think we are. I think the question will be for Commissioner Novick whether you want to act on this now or whether you want to take more time with what your pleasure is about that, given the comments we've gotten.
It seems to me that we are going to need to take more time. And what I'm wondering is whether we think that we might be able to have some conversations and pull some amendments together for next week or whether we think we should push it out further than that. Wait a minute. No. Are we here next week?
What date is it today?
Here next week.
Anybody have any idea?
Oh. We have the next Wednesday, the 24th.
Thank you.
3 weeks from now.
3 weeks.
January 7th will be our next meeting.
Well, heck, then we've got all kinds of time. I'm sure we should be able to work all of this out before then.
So maybe we might want to just continue this item if you want, and that'll give us a chance to at least have some informal discussion between those of you at the neighborhood or district coalition level that are interested in this and answer some of these other questions before we take it up again. Because, yeah, you're right, this is one more item on a long list for volunteers to keep track of, so appreciate that. Does that make sense? Is that workable?
That's to me.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your diligence.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Unless there's anyone else that wants to speak on this item, then we'll continue it until January 7th.
January 7th.
And now we have...